It has been something we have been hearing rumors about for months at this point. It has been something fans have been arguing and pleading for years and years and years. But the day has finally come on the shadows of the biggest day in sports and entertainment at WrestleMania. The news drop that Endeavor has bought 51% of the shares of World Wrestling Entertainment. Welcome in to the Sports Cubico. I am your host, Mike Mercado, with Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and the marvelous one, Dan Marver, throughout the entire show. And it has finally come to fruition. The WWE has new head honchos, and another honcho has come back to power. This comes to us from the Hollywood Reporter. Endeavor's UFC WWE to merge Ari Emanuel to serve as CEO, Vince McMahon as executive chair. And we all know that Vince was never not going to come back, was never not going to be the man in charge, was never not going to get the last laugh. It didn't matter any lawsuits because Vince got his $9 billion. Triple H got a $5 million bonus. And WWE is now partners with the UFC. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to bring together two leading pure-play sports and entertainment companies, says Endeavor CEO Ari Emanuel of the new $20 billion-plus juggernaut. Unbelievable. Devin, we'll get into some of this article on what this actually means, the importance on both sports and entertainment, but your initial thoughts of WWE now under the same umbrella as the UFC.
Well, I'll start by saying the positives. They did not sell it to the Saudis. That and I think that's where we end on the positives there, Mercado, here. And I mean, I don't want to say everything else is negative. It's just very kind of meh in the sort of state we're in right now. We don't really know what to expect. I mean, yes, Endeavor has done a great job with UFC, and, you know, UFC and WWE have been compared to each other so much. And you think Shane McMahon's still kicking himself for not buying UFC years ago like he wanted to?
I don't know if he could kick himself with a torn quad. I'm sorry, Shane O'Mac. But yeah, this was something that back in the early 2000s, Shane was really adamant to telling Vince to buy the UFC. And now we're at a point where Vince is kind of in charge of the UFC. We'll talk about it in a second. Let's actually break it down. This, again, comes to us from the Hollywood Reporter. And I suggest you guys read the entire article from both George Sazali and Anton Blessling. This was on April 3rd. Endeavor's UFC WWE to merge Ari Emanuel to serve as CEO, Vince McMahon as executive chair. Endeavor Group Holdings and sports entertainment powerhouse WWE made things official on Monday, unveiling a definitive agreement to form a new publicly listed company consisting of two iconic complementary global sports and entertainment brands, UFC and WWE. Endeavor will hold a 51% controlling interest in the new company, with existing WWE shareholders owning a 49% interest. The new company will be led by Endeavor CEO Ari Emanuel as CEO, who will continue in the same role as the remaining Endeavor businesses, which includes talent agency WME and the likes of IMG. So really fast right up there. Not only is Ari Emanuel now in charge of everything Endeavor, this new branch of UFC and WWE, but arguably some of the biggest agencies in the entire network, in the entire industry, in WME and IMG. That's a big deal. That's bigger than the sports, you know? WWE executive chairman and majority shareholder Vince McMahon will serve as executive chairman of the newly created firm, while Mark Shapiro will be president and chief operating officer of both Endeavor and the new company. Dana White will continue in his role as president of the UFC, with WWE CEO Nick Khan holding the same president title as White, but at WWE. The board of directors of the new firm will consist of 11 members who will be appointed at a later date, with 6 to be named by Endeavor and 5 designated by WWE. And there's an entire article talking about the evaluation, how it's combined worth $21 billion, but the fact that if you're a wrestling fan, you know how much there's always been a rift between Dana and WWE at some points, even though there's a lot of the same showmanship in the UFC, MMA world and the WWE. But now Vince McMahon didn't buy the UFC, but he made $9 billion is now in charge of Dana White and the UFC. So if you look at the flow chart, Vince is in charge of all of this. And I think what's really interesting, and I want to just say this up front, I think now it gives us the answer of why Endeavor didn't say anything when Dana White and that video of him slapping his wife came out. Because they were in the middle of dealing with a $9 billion deal with Vince McMahon, who was in the middle of his own sex scandal and hush money. So that starts adding up a little bit, huh?
This all sounds on par for WWE. Let's be real here, Mercado. Like, this sounds like a storyline, if anything. It's like one dude smacks his wife, and it's like, oh, we're going to ignore this because another man's getting charged with the sexual, you know, assault accusations. But really, this just sounds like Vince McMahon found a way to have his cake and eat it too. And granted, this does also mean Vince McMahon does have bosses now, which I don't think he ever had, you know, for the past, what, 60-some years he's been in charge here. And it's just really going to be interesting to see where this goes here, because we've heard a lot of things about, you know, I mean, case in point, a couple of years back, they had this really stupid moment on SmackDown that the Fox executives went to go talk to Vince McMahon, and he was laughing hysterically the entire time. It's like, now we're going to have some bosses, and if they don't like the way the company's doing, what Vince is doing, they can pull him out of that position. They can kick him out the door very much here. I mean, he did find a thing, but he's no longer owner here. And I think that's going to really affect a guy like Vince McMahon, you know, a guy who's been in charge for so much to have less power here. Granted, the guy's in what, 82, 83?
He's 78, and he just signed a 2-year contract in this deal. So it goes to your point where he's got bosses now at the age of 78, and there is, it seems like, a little window of his actual time in there.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. It's a 2-year contract. We'll see if he retires once he hits 80. But just again, it's like, I thought for sure Vince was looking to sell to retire because, you know, just he's an old dude. But, you know, as every professional wrestler said, he is going to be the man who dies in the chair. This could change now that he finally has bosses here. But it's going to be very interesting because another thing I heard about this is one of the things Vince McMahon wanted was creative control at WWE. And if you saw this week's Monday Night Raw, oh, did you definitely see that Vince is back in the creative thing. But I do want to ask you this, Mercado. How long do you think this, it's been kind of proven here, but do you think they wait until after WrestleMania to make this big announcement?
I think this was a WrestleMania announcement. This was the same thing as when Vince bought the WCW. Whenever they have like a big XFL announcement or something, they use their biggest platform, which is WrestleMania. And if you're a wrestling fan, the storyline stuff that starts happening where you're like, well, that was a weird decision. That was a weird Monday night. I think it goes into, you know, there was the SEC violations they were talking about that if Vince went back to creative control and it would be of violations, federal violations, they could. And all that kind of changed when he sold his shares before this deal happened. And now that he's been appointed and it's a new company and it's, I think it changes a little bit about his day-to-day input. Now, there was an interview that came out on CNBC, which timed out perfectly when two things, all the panelists that did the interviewing, and you and I are in the business of broadcasting and interviewing, and we try to be as transparent as we are. We were transparent when it came to the Brandon Johnson stuff in the Chicago mayoral election. CNBC is interviewing Vince McMahon and Ari Emanuel, and guess who represents all the broadcasters on that broadcast interviewing Vince McMahon and Ari Emanuel? Yes, that's right, Endeavor. So it is interesting when the timing of that interview and it coming on the Saturday of WrestleMania. So I wonder, in that interview, he talks about how he has input on the major stories on top. And then I start wondering, well, does that mean that the only reason it felt like a Vince McMahon Monday Night Raw was because they were all in LA together? Will he be there in Des Moines, Iowa? Will he be there in Green Bay, Wisconsin? Like, I don't know if he's going to actually, because now he's in charge of the UFC. So if Endeavor comes up to him and they're like, Vince, yeah, I know you have backlash coming up. You guys already have Bad Bunny. Trips has got that. We need you to sell the heck out of Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor like we've never done before. And we need your production team, the greatest production team that makes horrible storylines look amazing for 4 minutes before a match happens. Do you think maybe that's where his attention goes?
I mean, it's definitely plausible here. But yeah, look, Vince has a team of a bunch of people and that sort of thing here. And with UFC, it's a little bit more different because what's the storyline in UFC? I'm fighting you because I want to fight you and I'm in contention. We've had won the same amount of bouts. I can win to go for the title match. Really, what is the story to a UFC fight other than these are two guys pummeling just to get that big belt at the end?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, obviously I've worked with the UFC. I've had great relationships with a lot of the fighters in Bellator and in the UFC. But one thing you do know is sometimes it's, and for lack of a better word for the average public, it's boring when it's just two good fighters fighting for a belt. Sometimes you need the Conor McGregor. Sometimes you need the S-talker, right? And I think there's only so much promotion that the UFC and ESPN and Endeavor know how to do, even though they do great product. But now imagine WWE's production team specifically. The people who made Omos versus Brock Lesnar look like an actual awesome matchup opening up WrestleMania, which ended up being a bad match, right? But like, they did a great job of making it seem like this was a crazy storyline for 17 months when it was like 3 weeks. Now imagine them doing that for a, oh, I don't know, a John Jones versus Francis Ngannou heavyweight championship fight.
Well, first off, I don't have Peacock Premium Plus, so I didn't see any of the hype patches during WrestleMania.
Fair enough.
You know,
yeah,
we got paying $10 or $5. F that.
We'll get to that in a second too about PLEs and pay-per-views, but good. Continue.
Just, you know, it'll be very interesting to see there, because again, there is no storyline there unless you can just, the only thing I can think of is, you know, like, well, the Hall of Fame hype package is like, you know, it's like, you know, boom, they show the, you know, clips of them fighting with people talking about them.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I think you could really hype up that UFC sort of thing here. And I mean, this is going to be, I hope this be a good thing, because this sounds like something to create more jobs in media in the UFC and WWE, or just for Endeavor as a whole. But I'm a realist. We live in America. F more jobs. We want as little people as possible, save as much profit. That's a different story for another day.
But it's true. Like, yeah. I mean, in the dream world, it's because people are getting more jobs, more creatives are getting more jobs, more athletes are making more money. The truth of the matter is the UFC sold for $4 billion when Endeavor bought it, and now is worth $12 billion. Yet the fighters aren't getting paid a lot of money. So I don't think wrestlers are going to get paid anymore. They are able to, I believe, make more money over time through sales and through tours and whatnot. For MMA fighters and coaches, it's more one lump sum, you know, and then the sponsorship. So that's something that kind of goes into the PLE, the premium live events for WWE, and pay-per-views for UFC. UFC, obviously, is on ESPN Plus. But in order to watch a pay-per-view, you have to pay per view on the actual app itself. So you're spending the $9.99 and then another $60 to watch the pay-per-view. Does that happen when this Peacock deal ends for WWE? Are you paying for an app and then paying for a pay-per-view? Because it's another 5 years, I believe, around there. So where does that leave? Where does that go into? Is it going to be one magical app? Now, I'll tell you this much. If Endeavor says for $15 a month, you get every WWE pay-per-view and the library, and you get every UFC pay-per-view and the library for $15 a month, I'll sign up right now. That's a value. But if it's $15 a month and then you got to pay for the pay-per-view, I don't know if anybody's going to swing for that.
And that was my initial thought reaction. I'm like, our WWE pay-per-view is going to be back and there'll be like $99 a view here. And the whole reason the WWE network was created is because pay-per-views weren't selling at all here. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty sure the Peacock deal was, so we can sell, let's go branch out. You know, that's why you can buy WWE t-shirts on fanatics.com right now. It's, you know,
the licensing's crazy for them. Yeah,
I know, they're all over the place right now. And this is all just so they can sell the heck out of this place. But it's just be very interesting to hear what's going to go on now. It's like, is the Peacock deal going to, you know, continue to stay afloat? I don't know how much money they're going to be making off this. Is Endeavor going to make their own streaming service? Because, you know, everyone wants to do that. The streaming wars, you know, South Park did a great job predicting that one for us. Mm-hmm. And I really hope not, because, I mean, yeah, I enjoy WWE, but I don't enjoy paying a lot of money to have to watch a live event. I, you know, definitely, you know, the library is nice for now and then, but I like my $5.99 a month. I mean, I don't pay for, you know, Peacock Premium Plus. Try saying that three times fast.
No kidding. Don't do it on the radio, though.
But yeah, this thing is like, I also get other, you know, there's other shows and movies and stuff with that makes Peacock Premium, not Premium Plus, work really great for me here. So it's going to be a very interesting thing here, because we all know UFC knows how to sell. I mean, what is the lowest selling UFC pay-per-view, though? I mean, these things always seem to sell out, you know, because there's bars that rent it out. There's my uncle owns a Buffalo Wild Wings. He has to pay like $300 per like UFC pay-per-view, but they draw on like, you know, $1,000 that night just from people coming to see. Are they going to try and make WWE like a UFC thing that you can get it streamed in bars and all that and such? I don't know. You rarely see that. I don't know if you ever see that.
I don't know if you maybe in theaters and some like bars, selective bars do it, but you bring up the good point of bar revenue for a lot of these companies. And I do think that they have lost a little bit of that from the heyday, you know, back when I was in college, like in 2008. From that period of like the Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell's, all the way to the Brock Lesnar's and, you know, whoever it is, just to think about the GSPs and all these different cats that at that time, it was a hot commodity. You wanted to go watch the UFC at Buffalo Wild Wings at the bar. Now it's a little bit different because of the app aspect of it. And it's a little bit easier to get pay-per-views, which is funny because I actually thought it was easier on demand than it is now on the ESPN Plus. But you bring up the great point of the revenues and how it's going to end up affecting so many different outlets and whatnot. And I think what's really interesting, and I want to get your perspective on this, is now these worlds are colliding and we're breaking down the huge news, both in the sports and entertainment world, as Endeavor has bought the WWE, now 51% shareholders of the company, and merging a new company, NewCo, with the UFC and WWE. Ari Emanuel going to be in charge of the entire thing. But Vince McMahon, the guy underneath him, now in charge of UFC and WWE, it seems like Nick Khan and UFC respect and Dana White respectively for WWE and UFC as the president. And we're breaking it all down here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Single, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado. But these worlds are colliding. And we know that they were trying to get into the sports betting world. I don't know how much validity that's going to have now because they've been sold. So now that maybe they're just like, all right, well, we can't make any more money off of this. So,
well, they did have their DraftKings deal.
They have their DraftKings deal, which is a great lucrative deal to begin with. So, like, I don't know if they're in a hurry to start doing all this other work and starting to have to hire these other companies to keep secrecy and stuff. You've already sold for $9 billion. You have a big mama company now. You don't need to be doing anything crazy. But I do think that now you're going to see the merger of, oh, Connor's at Monday Night Raw in LA today. Oh, wait a minute. Roman is at front row of the UFC fight. Why is Brock Lesnar at Power Slap? You see what I'm saying? Like, that's where it starts to make sense. That's when, like, do you do Saturday night at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, UFC 299, and Sunday you have Money in the Bank? Like, do they do that where they rent out one arena and one night is the UFC and one night is the WWE? Do they do that?
Absolutely here, but I'm going to tell you now, Conor McGregor will not be on any Monday Night Raws. If you remember the words he had for a lot of WWE guys that I can't repeat on the air, and I don't think Roman Reigns of the UFC, if you remember his retort to Conor McGregor with words I cannot say on the air here, but there will be definitely some, you know, wrestlers at UFC events, and we've seen that before, and, you know, vice versa. Now that they're, you know, what, their sisters, their brothers in this company?
Yeah,
you'll definitely see, yeah, sister companies. And yeah, I think you're definitely onto something there. Hell, it might even be, it's like, all right, we're going to put the octagon down for this ring, and then we're going to have a WWE match, like, right at, I mean, the turnaround that same night be terrible. But, you know, there's ways they could definitely make it work here. But yeah, I definitely think we will be seeing, you know, I guess what we call Endeavor Weekend, where it's like, you know, Friday Night SmackDown, UFC, WWE pay-per-view, I mean, or premium live events.
That's great. I mean, Endeavor Weekend kind of sounds like something you would do, right? Like, whatever they decide to name the merger, right? Endeavor is going to be the parent company. And then now they have NewCo, which is going to be like what's actually publicly traded. And I wonder, you bring up that point. It's like, yeah, I mean, we could see an Endeavor Weekend, NewCo Weekend, WWE UFC Weekend. Like, we could totally see that. And I wonder what this means for both Bellator, PFL, anything that you're doing with like 1FC and AEW. You know, it's like now the number one mixed martial artist company and the number one sports entertainment wrestling company are brothers and sisters. They're sisters. They're siblings. They live in the same household. What do you do? Like, obviously, you're not going to see Bellator, CBS, and Croker go to Tony Khan. But, like, what do you do? Like, now you're definitely behind the eight ball in both aspects.
Well, first off, I will say CM Punk has run out of companies to go to. You better not burn this AEW bridge here. But you know, there's going to be some guys that will probably be upset about this. But I really don't see a mass exodus of guys leaving, if anything. If anything, this might, you know, I was going to say, you know, maybe help make guys make more money. But let's be real here. We all know how these big companies work. No. We're going to give them as little as you can. But, you know, I mean, I don't exactly, again, Vince McMahon's fully in charge here. So it's not like much is going to change with the UFC guys' contracts or anything like that. But it'll be just, you know, interesting to see what's going to happen with everyone, you know, hearing about. You look at your saying something.
Well, I mean, I'm so glad you brought this up. So let's say at some point, right, if it was like Khabib, Conor, Masvidal, Kobe Covington, Israel Adesanya, anybody, just any one of these guys, and, you know, Volkanovski, anybody. Or, you know, they finish, they have a great career, they're done, and then WWE's like, oh, cool, come to training school, come to the performance center, we'll be ready for you. And then maybe someone like Gable Steveson, who's like not that good as a professional wrestler, not like his brother Damian, who seems to like have picked it up pretty well. Maybe he's like, oh, well, cool now. Well, it's my same company. They're going to give me $3 million. I'm just going to go train and go to the UFC now. So like, do you think maybe that's kind of the thing we're not seeing right now? It's like, oh, there's a lot of guys because of the NILs and they're doing these collegiate athletes that are going to be split up. Be like, you know what? You thought you were going to be a wrestler, but you're actually pretty good at this, so you're going to go down this way, and you're going to be in Dana White's contender series, or you're going to be in the Ultimate Fighter.
Now, I definitely think the other way around is we've seen several UFC guys, you know, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, do the thing of UFC to WWE, which really makes a lot of sense. Go from really hurting yourself to like kind of hurting yourself here. The other way around, I mean, we've seen that with guys like Brock Lesnar, who worked out really good. And we saw it with guys like Bobby Lashley, who made it work really good, Jake Hager. And then there are guys like CM Punk, who did not make it work out at all. We don't talk about that here. But you do bring up an interesting point that this might be a thing. And I mean, we did see, what was it, Raw Underground, or even those street fight or shoot fights. That might be something that we see come back as a... in a different sort of sense here. I mean, it might be a sort of thing like the, they're talking about bringing back the Brawl for All, if anyone remembers that here. So this could be their next big thing. It's like UFC versus WWE. It's like, you're kidding me, right? And then Gable Stevenson will be the guy who wins it on accident because Vince McMahon doesn't know how to plan a shoot because you can't plan a shoot.
Yeah.
And then Gable Stevenson get knocked out by Butterball or whatever. Butterbean,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, here you go, kids. Kids, look up Butterbean on YouTube. As we wrap things up on this segment, as the UFC, WWE merge together, two worlds colliding, a very interesting cross-pollination of two fan bases that really are the same fan base. And then it always comes down to the stupid argument of, why am I going to watch grown men in underwear fake fight? I'm like, I hate to burst your bubble, but in combat sports, they've been fixing fights for a long time, my friends. Now, maybe the UFC isn't doing it and modern day boxing isn't doing it. But to think the history of some of our favorite combat sports never did. I mean, they were literally point shaving in some of our favorite national mainstream sports. So I always hated that argument, that bad faith argument with one another. It's like, look, man, the reason why you love MMA is because you love the personality of the dudes about to go in there and beat each other up. Otherwise, you just go watch on the street fighting. You know, like otherwise you just go watch Kimbo, but you only cared about Kimbo because once Kimbo was beating people up and you heard his story, like, oh, I could get behind that. Now imagine if Vince McMahon had his hands on the story of Kimbo Slice. That's what I'm saying. That's why this deal, like, and I think we can wrap it up like this, like Dana White and Vince McMahon are, in my opinion, not good dudes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant business and promotion men. Great carnies, not good dudes. And it just goes to show that Endeavor didn't care. Endeavor doesn't care because this is going to make them so much money. Now, you talked about at least it's not the Saudi government buying them. But if you want to be real about it, fans, you still need to hold your favorite sports accountable. And we learn MMA fans. I'm an MMA fan. I've been part of the community forever. We don't hold fighters or the brass accountable. And we've tried to hold Vince McMahon accountable, but when you have that much money and that much connections, it's hard to take a man down when you own the company. But at the very least now, maybe there's going to be some checks and balances. We'll find out. But Dev, your final thoughts on what has been a crazy day, both for sports and sports entertainment.
I won't say it's going to be exciting, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see how the next few months then when this deal's finally, you know, wrapped up or, you know, fully in the flood. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see just, I guess, how next year's WrestleMania goes, really. I'm going to be interested to see here, but it's just, we're definitely seeing that Monday night, we kind of saw that different side of WWE. It seemed a little bit older, seemed a little bit, you know, different. And we'll see, you know, I mean, you brought up, you know, things like the Ultimate Fighter. We might see that show come back. We might see, you know, like a Tough Enough sort of version of, which kind of was the Ultimate Fighter, let's be real here.
Well, with WWE production.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know, if we know anything about WWE, they know how to produce the hell out of anything. They have their own movie studio, for crying out loud.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, the XFL, original XFL, the NFL stole ideas from.
Oh, absolutely.
These people are, that's what I'm saying. It's an evil genius. And they get a lot wrong. But that's why when they get a lot right, they make a lot of money out of it. So you're right. It may not be good. It may not be bad. But it's going to be interesting. Because for the first time in our lifetime, and a lot of people's lifetime, WWE is not owned by McMahon anymore. Mm-hmm. And the UFC and Dana White are under the control of Vince McMahon. It's a crazy world. We want to know your thoughts. We're on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. The UFC, WWE are now sisters as Endeavor has bought the WWE a combined $21 million market share value for both the UFC and WWE combined. A lot of money made by these two companies over the last few years. Ari Emanuel in charge and Vince McMahon is the executive chair. Let us know your thoughts on the entire situation on Twitter at SportsCubicleTV. For the marvelous one, Dan Marver. For Paul Shabari, for the awesome Devin Tingle, I'm Mike Mercado.